Listen, hear, and receive God's word this morning, coming from the second chapter of Titus, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this day and for this opportunity to stand before your people. Lord God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable unto you, for you are our God, our rock, our Redeemer. You are our salvation. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. Those words pretty well sum up all the word of God that will be proclaimed near and far today. The four verses from the second chapter of Titus, which I just read, are pale in comparison to the other lectionary passages for today. From Isaiah declares in the ninth chapter, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us." Likewise, the Titus passage is not as descriptive as Jesus' birth narrative in Luke 2, which was read by Vince, which tells us of Joseph and Mary traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem to register as decreed by Augustus. And while on their way, the Christ child was born, wrapped, swaddled, and laid in the manger, as there was no proper room for them in the inn. In Paul's letter to Titus, there is no report of shepherds watching over their flocks by night and seeing a bright star shining in the east. Likewise, there is no visitation of an angel proclaiming and pronouncing the birth of the Messiah in the city of David. Nor is there the appearance of heavenly bodies singing heavenly choruses praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who God favors." Titus does not issue a report of shepherds hastily following the star and finding Mary, Joseph, and the child laying in a manger. That is the story of Christ's birth that most of you have probably come to hear this morning. It is the foundational story of that which we believe, that God so loved the world that God sent the only begotten Son to redeem back to God everyone and everything in the world that is broken, irreverent, sinful, immoral, and unjust. That's the reassurance that many of us have foregone Christmas Eve brunch reservations at 11 o'clock, family gatherings, early gift exchanges, and celebrations to come worship for, not to hear about Paul's or one of his followers' letter to Titus and the worshiping community in Crete, telling them how they are to live. And if you take the time to read the preceding verses in the second chapter of Titus, you might wonder why or how this passage has any relevance in this day and age. As the earlier verses in the second chapter instruct Titus and his followers, the marginalized in the patriarchal society, women, the young, and slaves, how they are to conduct themselves, to be submissive, practice self-control, obey their husbands and masters. That's not a word for the 21st century, and most especially on the day before Christmas. But beloved, I stand here to share that those instructions are implicitly or subliminally are being communicated today to many who are deemed inconsequential, not valued, marginalized, and disregarded. If you are an immigrant seeking safety, sanctuary, or just a better life, we don't want you in this country. Black and brown lives don't matter. They are expendable and have no intrinsic value. Disparity is evident in our criminal injustice and healthcare systems, and yes, even in our shopping experiences. For twice this season, I have paid more for African American toys, an Elf on a Shelf, and a Baby Alive face paint fairy, both of which cost more than their white counterparts. Now that might seem inconsequential to some, but what it communicates to me and so many others is that in order for me to buy a toy the color of my grandchildren's skin, I and other people of color will be assessed an additional tax. That's insulting, insensitive, unjust, and just not equitable. However, the most recent insult added to injury is the proclamation of the greatest Christmas gift ever that was signed into law this past week and that is promised to keep on giving for years to come, but only if you are a member of the rich and famous. Keep your head down, keep your nose to the grindstone, be quiet, don't complain. Be obedient to those in power, and if you do those things, we'll throw you off a few crumbs of an additional $1,200 a year. That's the world we live in, brothers and sisters, where the words of the singer Billie Holiday still ring true. Them that's got shall have, and them that's not shall lose. You're probably thinking, or may even be whispering to the person sitting next to you, this is not the Christmas message of peace, joy, or goodwill on earth. Paul declares, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age, to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, just, and godly. Jesus' first incarnation manifested God's grace towards us in a completely unexpected, humble, and vulnerable way. And Jesus continued to live on the margins in his day as an itinerant healer and proclaimer of the good news, a friend to sinners, a suspect in the eyes of the moral right and religious of his day. So we who are the righteousness of God are also to live in unconventional and unexpected ways by exhibiting the light of God that cannot be overshadowed by the dark, welcoming the stranger, feeding the hungry, encouraging the disheartened and poor in spirit, standing with and for those who are marginalized, ostracized, denigrated, or taxed by society, and to be passionately fervent, not zealots, in our well-doing, continually working for the manifestation of all that is godly, peace, equity, justice, and reconciliation. The epitome of God's divine grace is exhibited in the quality of our human relationships and interactions, how we treat and respond to the least, the lost, and the left behind, witnessing to the character of God's saving purpose by living lives of blessed hope. Insham Copeland reminds us living that is in blessed hope is not a short-term undertaking. Learning when and how, to what and to whom to give our yes or our no is a lifelong project. It is learning to live not merely in dull balance or tedious moderation, but in passionate, disciplined choice and action. It is learning to find support and challenge, courage and correction. Sustaining and realizing our yes from day to day is only possible when negative and destructive behaviors are supplanted by positive and generative ones. When we redeem the routines of our daily lives, when we choose and carry our commitments that give life and support life. Beloved, Advent waiting is not a time of passive, pious, or idle nothingness. Nor is it a time to be so wrapped up in worldly preparation that we are not focused on the real reason for the season. Jesus, who gave himself for us in life, death, resurrection, and ascension to redeem and make us God's own people. Paul declares that the grace of God has appeared, a bringing salvation to all, The good news in the declaration of Jesus' birth is that the salvation he brings is not only manifested in forgiveness, reconciliation, and redemption, it is transformative. Like the shepherds, wise persons, fishermen, prostitutes, blind, infirm, widows, and anyone who encountered and encounters Jesus, when we come into his presence, we are no longer the same. Now we are claimed, redeemed, and loved people of God. And God's grace empowers us to live in a new way in the world, transformed and the agents of transformation, no longer defined by race, ethnicity, gender, sexual identity, class, income, or educational attainment. We are the passionate, zealous people of God, agents of change, peace, joy, and goodwill to all, waiting in anticipation of the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, the blessed hope of which Isaiah wrote. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Tomorrow or even later today, most of us will gather with family and friends. We will sit near a decorated and lighted tree, exchange pleasantries, share memories, food, and gifts that will hopefully elicit responses of joy and thanksgiving. Today, the Titus passage reminds us that God gave us the greatest gift of all, Jesus, who was born in a lowly manger. A star directed those who would follow to his location where they found the light of the world. He befriended and fed the hungry, healed the sick, encouraged the poor in spirit, stood for the disregarded, and atoned for our sins by dying on a tree that we might be the righteousness of God. God's gracious, freely given, priceless gift can't be earned and has no expectation of response, except that we always live and strive to be temperately self-controlled, righteously just, and godly. And with God's help, drawing up on the best we have to offer, continually working for a new world order where all of God's children and creation are included, uplifted, encouraged, accepted, and loved. While we wait and await the second coming and manifestation of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, may we always remember that he is our blessed hope. Today and always. Amen.
Let us come before God with a time of prayer, at the end of which we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Eternal God, you come to us with your words and your promises, and they silence the cultural versions that ring in our ears, the secular appropriations that offer quick comfort. And they call us to a place of stillness, of humility, a place of justice, of reordered priorities. As we too gather at Bethlehem, as we too gather around a young family, may your Spirit be with us. May you sustain us always. Gracious God, we pray this day for the world, that our warring ways may be overturned even now, that the birth of Christ will challenge us to value all life. We pray for the mission of your church, that people of goodwill and people of their own faiths will go forth, and the Christian community especially will be renewed in their proclamation of the birth of a Savior. We pray for any who suffer, We pray for those who tend to those who are hungry or afflicted, those who lift up the lowly and bring comfort to the grieving. Within our congregation, we pray for Carol's father, David, for Mike, Dan, and Nicole, for Morris and Sharon, for Victoria and Jen, for Lee and Gail, for Haven and Mike, for Dominic's brother, for Heather's sister, for Aaron's mother, for Anne Marie, for Pat, for Dan and Ed and Antoine. We ask comfort on those that have lost loved ones or for whom this Christmas is a blue season. Gracious God, we pray also for our creation around us, that we may tend to it wisely as stewards of grace and mercy for all creatures. And as this day moves to night, as light gives way to darkness, be with all who are alone this day, those that are imprisoned, those who are struggling to see what tomorrow may offer. May a candle be lit before them. May a light shine upon them. May a grace sufficient unto their needs rain and shower upon them, that all may be well and all manner of things be well. We pray this prayer and the prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior, the Christ Child, the Prince of Peace, who has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.